This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on back. It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. We're coming at you in a strange time. It's a Tuesday evening, London, Tuesday morning across Stateside. But that's because there's an ATP Tour 1000 event this week, and it's the fifth major, as they call it. It's the fifth best event in the world in what tennis bettors and tennis fans consider to be one of the best venues in the world. Sean Calvert is over in California. He's not yet there. He's in America now, heading to California for the Indian Wells Tournament. Sean, you've had a long flight. You look a bit tired, mate. You're right.
I am a bit tired. Yeah, it's difficult this time zone, isn't it? Because they're 8 hours. Well, I'm 8 hours now, sort of behind you. So, yeah, I've only got here Monday night, LA time, which is obviously about sort of 2-3 o'clock in the morning British time, and then you have to kind of go to bed because you're knackered, and then you only get about 6 hours sleep because your body doesn't really know what's going on. So it took me a couple of days just to get attuned to where I am, to be honest. I've had a little wander. I'm in a place called Monrovia in Los Angeles, which is kind of north east LA, kind of at the bottom of the mountains of the Angeles Park. So I've had a little wander to Starbucks, got myself a coffee, seen a bit of sun, just trying to wake myself up. Yeah, it's not easy.
There was plenty of sun in Dubai last week. It's lovely. Well, as I was leaving Sunday, it was absolutely glorious, absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it looked nice from your videos. This is kind of cloudy at the minute, overcast, but it's supposed to be quite warm at Indian Wells. So that's looking forward to that. It's just the next 24 hours are just a bit difficult. That's all.
Yeah, obviously it's a long flight. It does do you. I mean, that then sort of Western coast of America, it does. You do struggle when you come from states. And obviously the people who are coming over, the Americans coming over to the UK, obviously suffer the as well, but it is a bit of the first couple of days you're walking around like a zombie.
Absolutely.
I saw your video on Instagram.
This might not go well. I'll try. Yeah. Talking about zombies. You saw my video on Instagram.
I thought that was you waiting for the $1 bus waiting for it to start up at 4 a.m. I didn't know what day of the week it was.
That was me waiting for my friend to pick me up at LAX, which was 2.5 hours later than it was supposed to be. So I was just kind of sat there for several hours just kind of waiting for a lift, but yeah, it's all good. It is a difficult journey this for me, to be honest, but there you go. It is what it is, and it's tennis paradise.
So what's your schedule? You're in LA now for 2 days.
Struggling to think what day it is now. It's Tuesday, isn't it?
Tuesday morning.
Yeah, no, we're just having this one extra night here. And then we're driving down to Indian Wells in the morning. So I've got 3 days at the tennis, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at the tennis, and then back to LA.
Right. So there you go. So you will be able to follow Sean's adventures. Now, obviously, if you saw the video yesterday, he looked absolutely exhausted. He's done a 13-hour flight.
I still am.
He was standing there. I thought people were going to come up to you and give you a couple of bucks because they might think you might have needed a coffee or something like that or a lift somewhere.
I did need a lift somewhere. It just didn't arrive for about 2.5 hours.
But it's going to get better. You know, you follow the tennis content. If you want to be all over the content this week, you've got to head to the Instagram account. Sean will be giving his updates on there and his videos on a daily basis on our Twitter account at Because We Win. So make sure you give us a follow on those two accounts to follow Sean's adventures over in Indian Wells. Now, the draw was made. We were worried about the draw, weren't we? We were worried about thinking the draw might be today. We might not be able to do something. But the draw was made in time for do this video.
It was
announced when you were waiting for your ride.
It was, but it's a big old draw, and it takes a long while for the odds compilers to come up with prices. There's still, I think, even as we speak, we're still waiting for some odds. So it's just a race against time. And obviously, by the time I got here last night, I was absolutely shattered. So, and it was really late, and there was no point in me staying up for odds that weren't going to be available. But that means I have to get up super early today, so it's not ideal timing, but it's better than it could have been. As you say, if they've done the draw Tuesday, which is today, about sort of lunchtime today at my time, then that would have been virtually impossible for us. Yeah.
So luckily we've got this show, so we've got four matches we're going to talk about a little bit later on. We're going to, obviously, the main thrust of this show is to do the outrights, to look at the tournament winner. But before we go on to the tournament winner, Sean, it is Indian Wells. Obviously, it's a tournament you know very well. You was there last year. You was there the year that it stopped for you. You was out there when it was the COVID year, wasn't you, as well?
Yeah.
So you've been there multiple times. You know the conditions. You know what it's like. Anybody who's joined the show over the last few weeks, there's a lot of new people coming along to watch the show. Our views last week were at a record level on the soccer as well as the tennis as well. So just give us a little insight of what you have to expect. What are the conditions going to be like over in California for the next 10 days?
Yeah, the players always complain about how slow it is here. I don't know why they do, because it's the same every year. The conditions are always the same. It's a slow, high-bouncing, plexi-pave, outdoor hard court. They play with pen balls, which is something they're not really particularly used to. Pen balls aren't used that often on the tour. So it's slow conditions. Does get a bit windy sometimes here. The ball flies a bit during the day session, a little bit like Dubai in that sense. And it does get a lot slower at night. The night sessions are really quite slow here. A lot of the players that like quicker conditions do tend to compare it to being a clay tournament. Medvedev constantly moans about it. Bublik is another one. It's slow. It averages 77% holds a serve, 70.7% first serve points won. Only 34% of the matches feature a tie break. And there's a trend to the unders. 56% of the matches in the last six editions have been under 22 and a half games, total games. And as far as underdog winners are concerned, you're best off in round one, really, while the players aren't used to the conditions. 36% of the underdogs are winning round one and 32% for the whole tournament. So, yeah, those are the sort of conditions to expect here, as ever.
So round one is obviously a time to get the dogs on side. And obviously, if you look at the draw, it's, as Sean said, it's a 128-player draw. So the best players in the world are all here. I mean, it's a start. It's exactly the same as a major, isn't it, really, Sean?
It's the fifth. It is the fifth biggest tournament of the year, basically.
Yeah, and they're all here. Nobody skipped the event. They're all here. Nadal was making his comeback, obviously, after the Netflix slam. I don't know what you made of that. Didn't even watch it.
I didn't see it. I knew it was happening. I saw what had happened, but I didn't actually watch it. There was no way I could watch that.
So how this works, a little bit different to the majors. Obviously, the majors have 128 draw. They'll obviously play over five sets here. They play over three sets. But the top 32 seeds have a bye through to the second round. So they're already into the second round. And tomorrow, the players are playing for the right to play the seeded players. Now, those seeded players are... Now, I'm going to give you the seeded players in the draw order. This is the way that the seeds are supposed to play. Obviously, it doesn't go that way, but this is how it should be if we got to the last 32. In the top half of the draw, we have Novak Djokovic, the tournament favourite and the number one seed. He plays Thomas Echeverry. Tommy Paul will be at Hugo Humbert, the winner in Dubai. Casper Ruud will play Davidovich for Kina. Cam Norrie, a shock winner here a couple of years ago. He will play Hercash. Medvedev will play Korda. Manarino will play Dimitrov. Fritz will play Bays, who's in some great form. Mazzetti will play Rune. Now, that is the top half of the draw. In the bottom half of the draw, it will go Rublev v. Lehecka, TFO v. Tsitsipas, Shelton v. Tsvetaev, Struff v. Sinner, Zverev v. Griekspoor, Bublik v. Alex Diminuor, Kachanov against Jarry, and Felix Auger-Aliassime against Carlos Alcaraz. Now, obviously, there's some players who are going to play. It won't pan out that way. There's dangerous players, dangerous floaters in that draw, but that's how it's going to go. If we look at the role of previous winners in 2023 last year, Carlos Alcaraz won the event. He beat Daniel Medvedev. Carlos Alcaraz is a much different player than he is now. I think he's struggling a little bit, Carlos Alcaraz. Taylor Fritz won it in 2022 when he produced his biggest win of his career by beating Rafael Nadal. Cam Norrie in 2021 in that strange year beat Basilashvili. And in 2019, Dominic Thiem beat Roger Federer. When you look at the previous winners here, Sean, it's, you know, there has been some shocks in recent years. And Novak Djokovic, the last time he won this was in 2016. So it's not a tournament that, you know, you look at it and think, you know, this is going to be dominated like the majors do. You look at the dominant, it's just the same name. You've got some shock winners here.
Yeah, I mean, Djokovic hasn't played it since 2019. That's one of the main things we should add, because he wasn't allowed in the country, was he, for numerous of those years. But yeah, some big price winners. I had Thiem actually 80-1 in 2019. That was one of the nice ones that I enjoyed. Only one unseeded winner this century, actually. If you can tell me off the top of your head who that is, I'd be very impressed.
I looked at the previous winners earlier. I should get it. But you're going to tell me.
It goes back a long way.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Alex Kurecha in the year 2000. No, so 24 years ago. He's the only unseeded player to win it this century. So, yeah, it always goes to one of the seeds. But it's not, as you say, it's not normally a tournament that the number one seeds, the top guys, the market leaders, they're not necessarily, you know, always going to win. As you said, a lot of big prices. Norrie 66 to 1. Basilashvili 125 to 1. Runner-up Fritz was 100 to 1. So, for me, this is a tournament where I always look, and I'm taking two or three players here. I always look for the big prices, and it more often than not, it does pay off to do that here.
Now let's have a look at the outright market. Now this is the future of betting with BetRivers. Head to across the BetRivers website. Honestly, there's no other sportsbook in America that will have the amount of markets on tennis that BetRivers will be offering this week and every week. And if you do bet on any of the matches, you can bet live and watch live. All these matches in Indian Wells will be streamed live or from the comfort of your own home. You don't have to travel with Sean and the $1 bus to go and watch it in the heat. You can sit in your own, have a coffee, have a beer, and watch the match unfold in front of your own eyes. Looking at the outright market here, the one thing that's actually shocked me. Now, listen, I'm looking at this in depth, and I'm looking at Novak Djokovic here. Now, he is plus 188 favorite. We'll come on to the other odds. We'll talk about Djokovic first. Second favorite is Jannik Sinner at $3. I now believe, this is my opinion now, I believe that Djokovic is a false favorite going into these tournaments. I think the time has come now where Sinner and Alcaraz, more Sinner than Alcaraz, should be the tournament favorite. Sinner is obviously on an unbeaten run this year, hasn't lost. He's played two tournaments, won two tournaments, and Novak is coming here rusty since the Australian Open. And I believe now is that the time that the Djokovic is on the decline. I've said over the years I've sort of hinted at it, but I do think now that the Novak Djokovic days of starting favorites for these tournaments will be long gone. So if you're looking at futures, you're looking at Wimbledon, you're looking at US Opens, you're looking in the future now, I can't have Djokovic as a favorite anymore.
Nice. It was always going to happen some point soon, wasn't it? He is obviously, you know, he can't hold back time. He is obviously getting on a bit now. So yeah, I mean, if you look at the stats, Sinner is the obvious guy to sort of take that place at the head of the market, especially with Alcaraz being injured. Medvedev is a little bit injured as well, I think, seems to be. And Sinner's got a very good draw as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, the time has come for, you know, if we're going on how he played in Melbourne, you know, it wasn't great, was it? He struggled again in his first couple of rounds. Popirin really should have done better against him. Nowhere near against Sinner. It's he's going to need a lot better than that. The question is, does he still have that tennis in his legs and his body? You know, it's kind of easy to say, well, maybe he doesn't. It is getting towards that time. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I that's my first reaction. I thought to myself, I wonder if BetRivers will be a little bit ballsy and make Sinner the favorite as a statement, but Djokovic is still holding
the top half. The top half for me is tough. I think Sinner's got a much better draw than Novak Djokovic, if I'm being honest.
And I think just by the human eye looking at it, I think Sinner here should be the favourite. And I just think Djokovic coming into it cold is exceptional. So let's go through the odds. Novak Djokovic is the favourite, as we've just touched on there, plus 188. Jannik Sinner is $3. Carlos Alcaraz plus 350. Injury concerns around the Wimbledon champion. Daniil Medvedev plus $6, also concerned about injuries. Andrei Rublev, after the Dubai incident, 16 to 1. Alexander Zverev, 16 to 1. Taylor Fritz, a previous winner here, carrying American hopes, he's 20 to 1. Casper Ruud's playing very well at the moment. I was quite keen on him. He's 20 to 1. Holger Rune, obviously, all the problems, documented problems with his coaches, he's 20 to 1. Rafa Nadal, 22 to 1. I mean, I don't know about you, but
it would be some effort, wouldn't it?
I would want enough of Norton, the price I'm betting him. Alex Dimitrov, in great form, won Acapulco, 25 to 1. Tsitsipas, 40. Herkash 40, Tommy Paul 50, Sebastian Korda 50, Grigor Dimitrov 50, Ben Shelton 50. We're going down to 66 to 1, and we've got Cam Norrie, Kachanov, TFO, Draper, Felix Auger-Aliassime 100 to 1, and then massive prices, 200 to 1. Bublik 200 to 1, got finalist in Dubai. So it shows you the real quality in this event, Sean. Sean, you touched on it. You said that the bottom half of the draw and the route for Sinner is a lot easier than that top half of the draw, which is difficult. So where is the value on this event?
I haven't got the current odds in front of me, which is a little bit difficult because I haven't really got the right screens and stuff. But I was edging towards Rublev, but I think you said 16 to 1 there. That's too short for me.
Yeah, 16 to 1 Rublev is now currently with BetRivers.
Yeah, that's a bit short for me. I think he's got a good draw. I was hoping for about 33-1 or so on Rublev, but I mean, if you look at his draw, if you take out Sinner, which is obviously quite a big thing to do, but you know, in best of three, I think Rublev's got a chance of beating him. Best of five, I'm not so sure, but if you remember the last time they played in the Australian Open, yes, Sinner won the first set. Rublev should have won the second set. I think he was 5-1 up in the second set tiebreak, managed to lose it, and that was the turning point for that match. I just feel like that last week's kind of disqualification and all the headlines that went with that for Rublev, I think that could be a blessing in disguise for him. I think it could be the wake-up call that he needs, because he needs to calm down on the court. He's so worked up, constantly getting on his own case and just screaming. And I think he might look at that and think, right, I've really got to do something about this now. It could be a blessing in disguise for him. And the slower conditions suit him, I think, as well. You know, his Masters wins and finals have come, generally speaking, they've come on clay. So I think if you are opposing Sinner, I would want a bigger price about Rublev. But if you are opposing Sinner in the bottom half, I think Rublev is the man to do. But I've also got two in the top half. Do you want me to
go through those?
Yeah, the top half's tougher. But in Q2, I think Medvedev is worth taking on. As I said, I'm not sure that Medvedev is fit. Conditions certainly don't suit Medvedev. He made the final last year, but he was on an absolute tear, wasn't he? He'd won everything. I think he won Rotterdam, Dubai, Doha. He was coming here on the crest of a wave last year. But ostensibly, the conditions don't suit him. His shoulder is causing him problems, so he's not serving as well as he has done in years gone by. And if you look at what Grigor Dimitrov has done recently, in the last 3 months, his service points won and return points won total, 109. That's only 1 point less than Jannik Sinner. He's also a former semi-finalist here, quarter finalist here in his last three appearances, last time he was injured, so you can kind of count that one out. He's beaten Medvedev here at Indian Wells. He also beat Medvedev in Paris pretty recently. What price is Dimitrov at the minute? About 50s.
50-1.
Yeah, I'm taking Dimitrov, but I'm also taking Taylor Fritz as well, just on a horses for courses basis. This guy's a different animal here than he is anywhere else. He won 16 of his last 20 matches. Is he about 50-1 as well?
Taylor Fritz is 20-1.
Is he 20-1?
20-1 with Bet Rivers.
Okay, I'll have to consider that then. But he's won 16 of his last 20 matches at Indian Wells. Won Delray Beach. I think he was the first guy to win back-to-back Delray Beaches since Jason Stoltenberg in the 90s. So in good
the
form.
Lost Jason Stoltenberg.
I like to throw these in.
What a name that was. Cool.
He was the last guy to win back-to-back Delray Beaches before Fritz did it this year. Fritz won't be too fatigued because he only played one match in Mexico and lost it. So the fatigue from there won't be an issue. So Fritz has got to be on your shortlist, I think. I'm not wild about the price, but I think he's got a good draw there. From just look at the draw, his section, I'm not convinced about Holger Rune. Again, physical problems in Mexico. He's back with Muratoglu now, isn't he, for the daily update. He's currently with Muratoglu as far as his coaching concerned. But that section that Fritz has got there, Baez is going to be shattered, you would think, after his exploits on the Golden Swing. Massetti looks like he's a man that's got a lot on his mind. He's about to become a dad, isn't he, in the next couple of weeks, the age of barely 22. So he's looked for a while like he's got...
He'll be able to pay the mortgage, Sean. He'll be all right.
I know he will, but he looks...
Right. He'll be all right for a few quid. He'll be okay.
He doesn't look... He just looks like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He goes through these spells, Massetti. So that section, I think the Taylor Fritz section is that's probably why he's as short as 20-1, because I can see him winning that little section. And the other thing to mention about Medvedev is he might have to play Korda, and Korda's got a good record against Medvedev. So I'm inclined to take Medvedev on in Q2, and the two guys to do it, I think, are Dimitrov and Fritz.
Dimitrov and Fritz at nice prices. 50-1 currently, Dimitrov, 20-1 Fritz. So you give us also a very nice mention for Rublev to bounce back from that. I mean, I bet the over games in that match. Can you believe that? The Dimitrov match, I bet the over games.
Did they void that?
Voided. 7-6-6.
It was well over the overs, though. That's not right.
Yeah, but the match has to be completed for the overs to stand. Voided.
Does it?
Yep.
In every, does it really? I thought that once you got past the overs, that was that.
No, it was void.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Tell me about it. I tell you one other. I'm gonna give you a little. Yeah, just a little bit of pizza money here, right? I know he won in Dubai last week, but Hugo Humbert, right, played, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he played really
well. He was. It was much faster conditions, though.
I know, but he's in form. He's won two tournaments he's played. I know it's quickly, but Fritz would suit the quick. Who got him best? 250-1 to win this tournament.
Is he?
250-1 with Bet Rivers.
Yeah, that's if he's that big, then maybe. I don't think the conditions are going to suit him. However, but just looking at his place in the draw,
I mean, if he
can take out Djokovic,
well, Djokovic could be taken out before he even plays Ugrin Bek, because I'm afraid if he beats Djokovic,
I'm not sure who's going to beat him before. I mean, Echeverry's injured. I mean, that section looks pretty easy. It's going to be Tommy Paul or Humbert. Tommy Paul goes well here. I remember watching him here last year. One of those could potentially beat Djokovic.
Well, Tommy Paul's 50-1. Ugrin Bek's 250-1. If they both met in the last 16 match, you'd be a very marginal favourite, Tommy Paul, potentially. Mm. Or it could be a 50-50 game. I think people are thinking he's got to come from Dubai. He's got to travel, which is a long, long journey. I mean, that's a long journey.
Longer than mine, yeah. I'm sure he's done it in better conditions, though. I think I suspect he may have been in first class.
Oh, yeah. But 250, I looked at that price, and I looked in again. I thought, that is too big. I know it's hard to do, but I thought...
That does seem... Yeah, I just thinking off the top of my head, I'd have put him in at about maybe 50s.
Yeah, 50-1. I thought it was a good bet. So there's a few big prices there. The general consensus is that Djokovic is obviously someone who is vulnerable at this tournament, someone who's coming in cold after the Australian Open. Alcaraz injury concerns, Medvedev injury concerns, and Sinner, although he is the man to beat, myself and Sean consider the 2-1, or was it 3-1?
We backed him here last year. Do you remember we had Sinner here and Miami? I said Sinner's going to make this breakthrough. He was a bit injured in Indian Wells. You were there in Miami when he got to the final and played brilliant. Then had nothing left for the final, did he? I've not had much luck with Sinner at all on the outrights. He's always been injured when I've backed him, or I've backed him a week or a month or a little bit just too early.
Well, I mean, I've always said I think he's the number one player. I think he's going to have a much bigger career than Alcaraz. And I just think that, you know, we spoke about him many times on the show, but I just do believe at 3-1, I wouldn't bet him. At +1, it wouldn't be Novak Djokovic. And I think Sinner 3-1, Ugo Humbert 250, Sinner 3-1, Dimitrov 50-1. There is some value on the outright market. So there it is. There's our picks on the outright market. And there's a couple of leans there. There's a couple of suggestions. But we've broken it down for you. And we also have four matches for tomorrow. Now, these are first round matches. These players are playing for the right to play one of the top seeds. So it's really important. Lots of money and lines here. Now, everyone's going to be trying very, very hard to win this game. These matches, it's going to be a big, big incentive to play in the main draw. And the first match we're going to talk about, the order of play should be around about 2, it's 12 o'clock Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern time, I believe, tomorrow. So that's when it starts. So check the Bet Rivers website. We don't know the order of play yet, but these matches will be in action across tomorrow. The first one is Roman Safarin up against Dan Evans. The enigma that is Dan Evans. We don't really know what Dan Evans is going to turn up here. The last time he turned up was a good Dan Evans. He won 6-2, 6-4 in Los Cabos. Very easy. And the time before, that was a bad Dan Evans. He lost 6-3, 6-3. So we really don't know what to expect. Safarin is -162. Dan Evans is +130. It's 2-1 on the head-to-head to Dan Evans. The Brit, the handicap here is 2.5. -109. Safarin, -107 for Evans. Safarin gives up the start. And the total, 22.5, -118 for over, -108 for under.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that the conditions will suit Roman Safarin here at Indian Wells. You know, his aggressive style, very aggressive style, it gets its reward on much quicker surfaces than this. And I would expect it'll probably go better next week in Miami, assuming that the conditions in Miami stay the same, which they were obviously much quicker last year in Miami than they've ever been in the past. Assuming that's the case, I would expect him to go better there than here, Safarin. These guys played a couple of weeks ago in Los Cabos. Again, slow, slow, high bouncing, hardcore. Evans won easily. Safarin was a -$2 favorite roughly that day. And it was all Evans really. I just feel like with Safarin, he doesn't really have any other way to play than his stock game, which is pretty much all out attack. There's not a huge amount of subtlety there. Made the semi-finals in quick conditions in Brisbane and hasn't won a match since, Safarin. And if you think about the conditions that he's played in the two tournaments in Mexico, they're not his conditions at all. You know, Dan Evans is the more adaptable player. He's got more layers to his game, more strings to his his bow, if you like. I feel like this is just the leanest one, but I feel like the conditions definitely won't favour Saffolin, and I'm not saying they're ideal for Evans either, but he showed in Los Cabos that he's got many ways to play and many ways that he can diffuse Saffolin in slow conditions. So if I was betting in this one, I'd take Evans round about +130, I think he is.
Yeah, +30 currently with Bet Rivers. There is 28 different markets available on the website on that match, but we want to get the Brit, not an official pick on the lean for Dan Evans to give Saffolin in not the best conditions for him and will suit to for Evans. The next match we have is Mickelson. I quite like what I see from this Mickelson, the American youngster. He's up against Zhao Munar. You would expect Mickelson to win this and be expected to be very heavy favourite, as Bet Rivers have. He's -278. You expect some patriotic support to come for him. Munar is +215. 3.5 is the handicap of the spread. +102 for Munar. +102 for Mickelson. -130 Munar. And the total is 21.5. -117 over. -109 under. Sean has said it's quite slow, so Mickelson is probably not going to be suited by the conditions, but Munar will be. But Mickelson has got a little bit of hype around him. You speak to a lot of tennis journalists, a lot of judges, and a lot of people, they're expecting big things from this young American here. But the conditions won't suit him, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, Munar, as I've said many times, he's just an absolute pest. He must be horrible to play. If you're a player and you come up with, you look at the draw and you think, I've got Munar in the first round in slowish conditions, you're just thinking, oh, great, this is going to be an absolute grind. It's really hard to hit through him in Indian Wells and in sort of slow conditions generally. Munar's won 4 of his last 6 matches here, and the other two that he didn't win, he lost in final set tiebreaks, one to Taylor Fritz and the other to Yibing Wu. I remember that match because I watched it in Salt Lake City Airport after I'd missed my connection. I had 5 hours in Salt Lake City and I watched, seems like 3 or 4 of it, watching Wu against Munar that was on in a bar there. He's just very, very difficult to beat in these conditions. Mickelson, as you said, is playing great lately, but he is coming off the back of a really bad loss from a seemingly unassailable position against Jordan Thompson in Los Cabos. Fortunate that was for Thompson. And boy, did he capitalise on it. He's only played Indian Wells once, Mickelson, so lacking a bit of experience. Munar, as we know, he just loves a scrap. He just loves frustrating more powerful players. And in these conditions at Indian Wells, it's perfect for him to do that. I think Mickelson will probably win it in the end. I certainly wouldn't back him at the price. He is about 1.36, something like that. That's
-278.
That's short. That is, I fancy the over 22.5 games here. That's my lean. That's plus, when I looked earlier, it was +114, 2.14 with Bet Rivers. If Mickelson's going to win this, I think he's going to have to do it the hard way.
You can take the over 22.5 at +114, or you can take the over 21.5 for an extra little bit of insurance. The over is -117, but overs is the pick for sure. It's not an official pick, though. Again, it's another lean.
That's just a lean, that one. But I do quite like, I like the idea of that being more competitive than the odds suggest, yeah.
The winner of that match will face Tommy Paul. So there's quite an incentive for Mickelson to play another American in round 2 in California, in Indian Wells, in a big sort of match that will be a big, big match for him in his young career. Okay, next match we have Artur Fis up against Borges. Fis is a player that the market love. I mean, he beat Borges 6-2-6 love earlier in this year in Auckland. But the market are really impressed with this young Frenchman. But his form coming in is not great. He's only won one of his last 5 matches. Got beat by Martinez in Santiago. He's had a lot of travelling. He's played a lot of the fair play to him. He's played the clay court swing over in South America, which probably isn't his ideal.
He said he's not going to do it again as well. Yeah. I'm not surprised. He's had a go, but it went badly, didn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah. But now he's betting to conditions, but it's a lot of traveling for him. He's -180 Fis here, and he's +150 for Borges. The handicap is spread 2.5, -110 Fis, -125 Borges. And the total is 23.5. Now, I looked at that and I thought, my first reaction is, that's a high line, isn't it? Fis against Borges, over 23.5.
It's quite
over
high
is -110, under -125.
Yeah, that is quite a high line. I've not seen that, to be honest. But yeah, I'm not sure why that's.
I couldn't understand why that was such a high line. It seems to be a match that sets will be 6-3, 6-2.
Yeah. Especially here in Indian Wells. It's not like it's, you know, as I said, only 34% of the matches feature a tiebreak here. So it's not like it's a big one for tiebreaks. Just not sure about Fis here at all. as I said, poor, really poor golden swing. He only won that one match against Thiago Seyboth-Wild, and he had a shocker of a day, Seyboth. He couldn't find the court at all, so Fiess didn't really have to do much to win that one. The other issue with him is that he's injured, Fiess. I think it's the right thigh that he's got the problem with. He had a complete meltdown in Santiago in that match that you mentioned against Martinez. He had to go to, I think it was Instagram, to make a grovelling apology for his behaviour that day. And he
I hope you're not going to our Instagram make a grovelling apology by the end of this week, Mr. Calvert.
I have been known to make the odd grovelling apology, yeah. But I'm not in control of these players. You know, they're in control of themselves. He hasn't had a good month, has he? It's been bad, let's be honest. Now he's got to switch surfaces. He's injured. The explanation he made was about the fact they had a meltdown was because he thought the court was dangerous. So lots of the players were talking about the bad bounces. He said it wasn't about that. It was about the fact that he could be out injured, or anybody could be out injured playing on these courts for the whole season. So he's obviously got an injury there, and he's blaming it on the surface in Santiago. He's now got to switch to hard court, facing an opponent that he did beat easily in Auckland, but much quicker conditions there in Auckland. And Borges went on to have a great Australian Open just directly after that result. The other thing with Borges is that he won the Phoenix Challenger this time last year, just after Indian Wells. Very similar conditions, slow, bouncy. It was a very good challenge. There was a lot of really good players in that. The final thing on this is that if you look at the stats for 2020, I put 2023 here, I've got the wrong year, 2024, their main level
stats. You
don't
know what day it is. I thought you might know what year it is.
Sometimes I don't. Traveling. You know, I'm on a very limited amount of sleep here. Their stats are identical this season at main level. Fiess and Borges, both 7-6 win-loss, and their service points won and return points won totals are both 100. So if you go in on that and the doubts about the fitness of Fiess, I think you just have to take Borges here. What price is he currently?
Plus 150, so 2.5.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, happy with that.
Yeah, so plus 150 for Borges. That's going to be our first official pick of Indian Wells this year.
Yes, let's take it. Yeah, I think there's physical doubts and certainly mental doubts as well about Fiess just at this exact moment in time. Yes, I think he's a great talent and a great player, but right now, I think he can be opposed.
Yeah, Borges plus 150. I quite like the under 23.5 as minus 125.
Yeah, unders normally cashes at Indian Wells anyway.
23.
That is a high line.
I couldn't work it out why BetRivers have gone 23.5 here, because none of them are really big servers. None of them are really, you wouldn't expect tie breaks in the match. I just thought 21.5, maybe really shocked to see 23.5 there. So that would be a little lean for me as well.
That would have cashed a lot. Under 23.5 would have cashed probably about 60% of the time at Indian Wells. So yeah.
A nice little Brucey bonus from us there on the under 23.5 games in the Fiess. And the winner of that match will play Davidovich Fokina in round two. And the final match we're going to talk about for tomorrow's action, round number one in Indian Wells, is Kotov against Tabilo. Now, Kotov was terrible last week, wasn't he, against Korda in Dubai. Absolutely diabolical. Korda had a brilliant game. Then Korda went on and got injured. Tabilo is obviously a player that's got to the final in Santiago in his home event, got beat by Sebastian Baez. Had a brilliant run before the Australian Open, didn't he? He won the tournament in, where was that? Was it Adelaide or Auckland? He won a tournament, didn't he?
Auckland, yeah.
Auckland. He's in good form. 7-1 on hard courts this year. Kotov is 4-4. They've met once before in a clay event, which in its challenger many years ago, which Tabilo won, which is no shock. But I'm quite surprised by the prices here. Kotov is minus 163. Tabilo is plus 125. I know he's had to come from his final in his home tournament, he's going to be absolutely devastated that he hasn't won it. But a plus 125,
won the doubles.
Yeah, well, he's won the doubles, but you know, he's playing a lot of tennis and he might be an exhausted. I can see why he's an underdog for this match. I can see why but I can't see why it justifies why he's plus 125. The spread here is 2.5, the total is 22.5, it's minus 120 over, minus 120 under, minus 110 for Kotov on his display last week in Dubai. He was dreadful. And Tabilo, plus 125. I like that odds.
I think he'll start shorter than this, Tabilo. I think this is wrong, this price. He looks a great price, Tabilo, on the 2024 form. And he also went really well here last year. Coming from Santiago again, it didn't bother him. He made the last 16 here, Tabilo. He's won 8 of his 10 matches at Indian Wells. that includes qualies and the main draw. So he obviously enjoys conditions here. If we look at what he's done in those 10 matches, his service points won and return points won total is 107, which is, I know a couple of them were in qualifiers, but he's still, his level here is excellent, as you would expect in the sort of slow, high bouncy conditions. A lot of clay quarters have gone well here over the years. Kotov's only played one match here, lost it to Emilio Nava last year. So much more experience on the part of Tabolo. The other thing that leans me towards Tabolo is Kotov is 0-4 so far in his main level career against left-handers. And I think that's because his backhand is his weakest shot. His money shot is the forehand, Kotov. And I think you can prey on that backhand side of his. And that's borne out so far in his main level appearances against lefties. I think Tabolo's coming here. I think from what he said, the comments that he made after the final of Santiago, he was delighted. He won the doubles, made the final of the singles. As you say, already won a hardcourt event in Auckland. 2024 main level stats, all surfaces. Tabolo's well ahead. Service points, 1 over 10 points, 1 total of 106, Kotov 99. So I think there's an awful lot of reasons to be positive and happy that you're getting plus money about Tabolo. It can only be possible fatigue, but I don't see that as being a major problem for him, to be honest. It's, you know, he's plenty of time between that final and this first round. We don't know whether this is going to be played Wednesday, maybe Thursday. We don't know yet. The later it is, the better it is for Tabolo. But yeah, happy to take Tabolo at these odds. What, plus 125, did you say?
Plus 125. What a great price that is. Tabolo, if you watched the Kotov match last week, he was absolutely diabolical.
Yeah, and I haven't even mentioned that. I mean, I expect he'll be a lot better this time, but there's nothing to suggest that Kotov should be as short as this, unless you're just going on fatigue on the part of Tabolo. But I'm not worried about that, really.
The market does form that opinion, though, doesn't it? You know, that's probably why it bears such a big price. I know the conditions don't suit, as you say, but it does form into that price of someone who goes deep the week before and just doesn't, like, you know, if the market thinks, they're opposable. But I think
it depends where they are. I mean, remember last year when Diminor went all the way and won in Acapulco, and every match was an absolute war, wasn't it? And he came to Indian Wells and he had nothing left. That for me is foreseeable. Something like Umber winning Dubai, you know, most of his matches were pretty quick on a quick court. I wouldn't have thought that would be a major negative for him. Fatigue, I guess that's how they're pricing it, but I'm happy to take these odds on Tabolo.
Well, Tabolo is our bet here, and the winner of that match will face Taylor Fritz. So another big match on the horizon for the winner here. So that's it. The two matches we're going to go for, two outsiders. Bourget is at plus 150 to beat Feast. We think there's an injury concern there for Feast, and Bourget is a bit of value at plus 150. But probably judging by Sean's conversation here and the way that we think the line will go, you can see already the money has come for Tabolo here. So I think that plus 125 is going to be under huge, huge pressure. So head across to the BetRivers website now, get that down, that plus 125, because it's not going to be there the time that these two matches take place. And remember, Sean, you can follow his antics across in LA today and across in California in the next few days by following us on our Instagram account and our Twitter account at Because We Win. A huge amount of people now following us on Instagram. Thank you. Welcome along. A huge amount of people subscribing to Betting Weekly Studios on YouTube. Thank you very much for your continued support. Leave a message on the message below here. Any questions you want to know, any restaurant reservations or any restaurant suggestions for Sean to be going out in California, let him know. If you're at the tennis and you want to go and say hello to the great man, or you want one of his t-shirts, let me know. Put it down there. And
I want one of my t-shirts.
Well, you've got to go check out with the Leon C poster office. Nothing to do with me. if you want to download our podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider, and enjoy the tennis. Sean, before you head off, what's the plan? What's the plan tonight? Where are you heading tonight?
Tonight, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I can't imagine I'll be doing much. Are we doing a show tomorrow?
It depends. You're at the tennis tomorrow, are you?
I'm at the tennis tomorrow, yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm at the tennis. We're going to travel down at some point from here to there, which is about probably best part of a couple of hours drive. So I'm not sure what time we're going to leave in the morning, but I can't imagine I'll be doing much tonight. The mate of mine I'm staying with, he's got a couple of little kids, and yeah, as I know from my own experience, it's not that easy to get out and about with a couple of them.
I thought you were getting over there to avoid all that.
Yeah, but these aren't mine, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No real responsibility for me here.
So what we do is we'll see how you get on tomorrow. We'll touch base, but we'll be on twice this week, and we'll be on another three times next week. We'll get the date, and what we'll do is we'll put it out on the socials when we're going to drop the podcast. Obviously, you're tired. Get some rest. If there's any value, you can follow Sean's picks on Instagram and also on the Twitter account. So you're not going to miss anything. And what we'll do is we'll have a little chat when you didn't even know what year it was. I mean, we can't discuss what
that's
you're doing
nothing tomorrow that, on the road. That's not that unusual. I normally know what day it is, but I'm not. I'm a bit 50-50 today.
Right. But listen, enjoy yourself. Enjoy your break, and we'll catch up with you, base. Get some sleep, get some food, get some nice food, and get yourself nice and refreshed. And get on that Instagram account. I want to see some no $1 bus. I want to see like
the $1 bus is later. I'm not going on that yet. That's right, okay. A few days.
No worries. All right. Take care, Sean. All the very best. Thanks for your picks today. Thanks everyone for watching, and good luck with your bets. Take care.